The fourth reason why Jesus came was he came to show us how to live. Because man had proven up to that point, we don't have a clue how to do it right, how to get it right, or how to live right. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And from the time Adam was born until still to this day, when every man is born, we have no idea how to do it right, get it right, or be right. But the Bible says that God gave Jesus as an example. He came and he showed us that we can live right. We can be right. We can be right with God. And we don't have to fail at everything we do. God has made a way and an example to show. The number three reason why Jesus came, the Bible says, is that he came to defeat the devil. The Bible says that when Jesus came, that when he died on the cross, he came and he took back the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Meaning that what the devil had power to do in your life before, he does not have the power to do anymore. The Bible says that Jesus has the power to defeat Satan in every area of our lives. And so Jesus came so that we could quit being punching bags. We could quit being doormats. We could quit being kicking bags that the enemy just used and abused through life to try to tear us down and break us down. But the Bible says he came and he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And he defeated Satan. The second reason Jesus came was to redeem us back to God. Before Jesus came, men worshiped God from afar. We hid behind bloods of lambs. We hid behind animal sacrifices to cover the horrible mistakes we've had. But when Jesus came, the slate was made clean. And it was the first time since Adam, man was able to stand before God and have an individual relationship with him. But today we're going to talk about the first reason why Jesus came. And the first reason Jesus came, the Bible says, was to show us the Father. To show us who God really was. So that we could know a God that loves us and cares for us. Up to that point, God was a judging God. And he had to hide behind a veil. He had to stay at a distance. And people only knew him if they made a mistake, there was judgment. Or if they tried the best they could to do everything right, maybe they could get a glimpse. But when Jesus came, the Bible says, he shows again in Hosea 2:20, it says, I will be faithful to you and make you mine, and you will finally know me as the Lord. Up to that point, people did not know God. Until Jesus came, people did not know God. They did not know a loving Father. They did not know someone that has your best interest at heart. Someone that has your best plans in store for you. Someone that wants nothing but success in your life. In John 17:3, it says, and this is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. When God gave us Jesus, it was the reason for you to know God. Because see, the truth is a lot of us know about God. And you've heard this said many times over and over again. You know, I know a lot about big preachers and I know a lot about some sports figures. And, you know, the thing about it is I really don't know all the ones I know everything about. And up to that point, you have to understand, see, when people knew about God, they may have known. As a matter of fact, by the time kids were 12, Jewish children were 12 at the time of Jesus' birth, they had done memorized the first four books of the Old Testament. They knew more about God than we know about God in our entire lives, it seems. But none of them had the opportunity to know God. And until Jesus came, until Jesus was given to us, no one could know him. But now, see, the gift of Jesus lets us know him. But because no one knew him before, no one knows what that really meant. In John 14:8, it says, Philip said to them, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you for so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? It says, he who has seen me has also seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? John 10:30 says this, I am my Father are one. the greatest gift that God gave us was Jesus. Because the minute he gave Jesus, what he really gave us was an opportunity and a way to know him. So what does knowing Jesus do for us? What does knowing Jesus give us in our lives? Number one, knowing Jesus lets us do this. Lets us know the love that God has for us. By him sending someone that he loved as much as Jesus for us so that we could know him means that God loves us that much. Number two, it shows us his touch. See, when Jesus came and Jesus lived and Jesus walked among us, it was the first time in history man was able to actually touch God. But you got to understand this too. The Bible says when Jesus came, he went through everything you and I went through. He's faced every temptation known to man. And so not only does it allow us to be able to touch God now, it also allow God to let him know what you go through and what you feel and the pain you have. And then number three, by knowing Jesus, it lets us know his gifts. Now, today we're going to look at a life because a lot of times when it comes to receiving the gift of Jesus, we really don't know what we have. We don't know what we've been given. The Bible says this. The Bible says that when a child asked a father for a loaf of bread, the father would not give him a snake. And it says, how much more does your heavenly father love you if a natural father loves his child that much? The greatest gift that any father could ever give, God had the opportunity and the ability to give. This morning, going into the Christmas holidays, we always try to pick the very best gifts for our kids because I love the fact when they walk in and they open those presents, they see these presents. And although it's a temporal thing and although it's just a toy or a gift and its love is not in possession, but when them kids open that up, I can see the glisten in their eyes. They know, Mom and Daddy love me. And it doesn't have to be anything great or anything big. I mean, never would I have thought my kids would have ever wanted a book for Christmas, but they got books. But they knew my mom and daddy loved me. When God gave Jesus, what he said was, I love you. I love you. And, you know, a lot of times because we go through situations and we go through circumstances and we're facing hardships and we're facing ordeals, we don't understand how much God loves us because we think, well, God gave us Jesus and he's forgiven me for my sins. And that's all we get out of the gift. But you got to understand, there's more the gift of Jesus than forgiveness of sins. And so we're going to take a look for a few minutes this morning over a man's life that understood that Jesus is more than just being forgiven for sins. The greatest gift we could have is to be right back with God. But God didn't just give us redemption. He also gave us an avenue to get back to the Father, which can love us forever. Joe, we're going to introduce and take a look at a guy named Nicky's life. And over the next few minutes, we're going to stop and start and stop and stop. I want you to see the power of the gift that God gave. Go ahead, Joe, with our first clip.
Hi. Praise God. Good morning. Good morning. Hallelujah. Jesus is the King. Amen. King of kings. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you so much for your warm welcome. It is my privilege and honor to be a friend and brother in Jesus with Rick, go on Oprah with him. It was absolutely awesome. Jesus was mentioned by Rick many times, but they cut it out, the J-bomb. But the way that God had me do what I did up the stairs, they couldn't cut it out. And so I just want you to know it's just been a pleasure to stand on the front line of God's army with Rick on that one instance and boldly confess Jesus as Lord. And it was just so much fun. I'm so glad to be back here in Saddleback. Thank you for your welcome. I would just like to actually open up this morning with a quick video, if you may look to the screens. Thanks so much.
I was born in Melbourne, Australia, 1982, and my parents had no idea that I was going to be born without arms or legs. I was the only one that I ever saw without limbs. My faith in Jesus Christ was sealed after 7 years of wondering why, God, I was born this way. He answered me very clearly through John chapter 9, and I gave my life to Jesus at 15 after reading about how he came across a man who was born blind. And I'm like, hey, hold on a second. This looks interesting. And no one knew why he was born that way. I'm like, perfect. So I read on, and in verse 3 of the 9th chapter, Jesus said, it was done so that the works of God would be revealed through him. And I'm like, wow, God, if you had a plan for the blind man, you do have a plan for me. And that was the beginning of my personal relationship with Jesus. Youth groups were starting to call me. Churches were starting to call me. Opportunities were opening up everywhere for me to share my testimony. I was speaking in front of 300 sophomore public high school students. 3 minutes into it, half the girls were crying. One girl in the middle of the room started weeping. She put up her hand and she said, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but can I come up there and give you a hug? In front of everyone, she came and she hugged me. She cried on my shoulder and whispered in my ear, no one's ever told me that they love me. No one's ever told me that I'm beautiful the way that I am. I couldn't believe it. It changed my life. That was when I knew I was called to be a worldwide evangelist.
You don't know what God can do with your broken pieces until you give God your broken pieces.
Okay.
And I want you to know when you fall down, God's grace is sufficient. God's hand will come down and pick you up.
By the grace of God, we have seen face to face 500,000 souls say yes to Jesus and be plugged into a local church. As crazy as it sounds, our goal at Life Without Limbs Ministry is to preach to every single soul on the planet. 7 billion people. We believe that this goal is possible as the Holy Spirit is gathering an army and building up supporters to send us and accomplish this mission.
Now you see, Nikki's mightily used by God. Over the next few minutes, we're going to be going through a lot of his testimony. And we're going to see that he didn't always understand the gift of Jesus in his life. But when he received the gift of Jesus in his life, what he realized is God's love was so much bigger than every one of his circumstances, every one of his downfalls, and every one of his shortcomings. See, when Jesus came, he came to reveal the love of the Father. We think because circumstances and situations and what we go through actually are what dictates whether or not God loves us. When things are hard, things say God doesn't love you, or he wouldn't allow this. God doesn't love you, or there's no way that could have happened. God wouldn't love you, or they wouldn't have been able to. And we place God's love on circumstances. The truth is, God's love was shown in the gift of Jesus. And when you allow the gift of Jesus, God's love, into your life, circumstances cannot hold you back anymore. It can't limit you. It can't stop you. Jesus is more than a name, but he's the name above all names. Jesus is more than a Savior, although he is every single person's Messiah and Savior. The gift of Jesus can't be bottled up into a Christmas story. The gift of Jesus can't be put into just a simple thought pattern. The enemy's lied to so many of us about the Father, thinking that, you know what, God If he loved me, he wouldn't put me through this. God has given us a gift that is so amazing and so powerful that none of us can truly understand or even begin to comprehend how great this gift truly was. So again, we're going to look at a life. We're going to hear a story that no matter what your circumstance is today, no matter what your situation is today, no matter what you're facing, no matter what hardships you've done. See, the truth is, most of the time, the holes we live in are ditches we've dug. Here, this young man, like he said, he was born this way. So if he would have had the thought patterns we would have had, he thought, God never loved me. But he realized that when he gave Jesus, he loved him more than he could ever love him and gave him more than he could ever be given. And I'm telling you, whatever you're lacking in your life today, the gift of Jesus can meet that need. Joe, let's go with the next clip.
You know, I think a lot of people are waiting on God to change the circumstance to really be truly content in the Lord Jesus. But if you're not truly content in what Jesus has already done for you, you do not know what he's really done for you. And that has set me free. And that has given me a platform to believe in miracles, but at the same time, not have to wait for miracles to happen before my joy in Jesus is true and full. Growing up in church, you know, every Sunday, singing that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, to believe that God loves us requires a lot of faith. Because I had a lot of questions. If God loved me, then why did he let me be born this way? If God can do all miracles and anything that I ask, he can do it, then why doesn't he give me arms and legs when I ask him to relieve me of my pain? I wanted to know the answer. I actually felt that God, for some reason, wasn't listening. For some reason, didn't answer my prayer. And I was starting to think that he wasn't real. What was so, really difficult to get through were the years between ages 8 and 12. I was actually the first special needs child to be integrated into a mainstream school. Being the only one with no arms and no legs, of course, and in a wheelchair, I had a lot of unwanted attention, feeling depressed, feeling alone. And at age 10, I actually tried to commit suicide by drowning myself in 6 inches of water in my family bathtub. After a whole day of being bullied and teased, I just didn't want to live anymore. By the grace of God, on the third time I rolled over in my family bathtub, I saw my mum and my dad crying at my grave. I saw that pain that I would leave behind, and I decided to stay. But I went through depression because no one could heal my heart. No money, no amount of friends, no amount of education or things that I quote-unquote needed to get through my daily life. It just couldn't heal my heart. Finally, at age 15, God answered my prayer. It was when I read John chapter 9. A man was born blind, born with a disability that no one could actually explain. And that sort of sounded familiar to me. People asked Jesus, why was this man born blind? And Jesus said it was done so that the works of God would be revealed through him. And faith came over me. Hearing of the word produces faith. It is a gift. It is not a focus that you can muster up inside. It is a gift given from God when you hear the promises through his word. And that changed my life. He healed my heart, and now I can be an instrument in his hand to let people know, as a miracle, seeing his strength perfected in my weakness that would have otherwise been not as powerful. It's more powerful seeing a man without arms and legs smiling than someone who got their miracle. What about for the people who didn't get their miracle? And for anyone who's watching right now who thinks that God doesn't have a purpose, and what can God ever do with me? Well, look what God did with me. If God can use a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet, there is not one person watching this program
where God can't use their broken pieces too.
Now I want to quote Romans 8:28, where it says, all things come together for the good for those who love Him. You know, I thought that the greatest burden in my life was my circumstance. It is not. The greatest burden in your life is not your circumstance. The greatest burden in your life is you not being able to see your life clearly through God's eyes. Knowing that He knows that He's going to be with you and He's going to pull you through. That all things come together for the good. Even the worst part of your life up to this point, God is so big, so mighty, so gracious that He can turn it into some good.
If I was born without arms and legs and God did not give me arms and legs miraculously for one soul, bring it on.
I want to tell you, the gifts of Jesus, there's nothing that you can't do. Instead of looking at circumstances, what you've got to understand is the gift of Jesus reveals God's love. And God's love is revealed in five different promises. They're called the I wills. God's love promises you He will always be with you. God's love promises you He will heal you. God's love promises you, I will deliver you. I will watch over you. And I will listen to you. The Bible says Jesus came to reveal the Father's love. Number two today is this. Jesus came to reveal the Father's touch. See, when Jesus walked among us, He felt what you feel. He tasted what you tasted. He knows what you go through because He's went through it. A lot of time we get in our mind, God just don't understand or God don't know. You know, God's there and I'm here. God wasn't always there. The Bible says God gave us Jesus so that God could be here too. And when He was here, He showed us that God's touch is real because He knows what your touch is. The Bible says that cast your cares on Him for He cares for you. He knows what it feels like, and He knows what you're going through. Your greatest hurts and your greatest pains, your greatest disappointments and your greatest wounds and your greatest fears. God knows. Because when Jesus was here, He touched your life and He's walked through your life the same way you're walking through it now. And it reveals this. If God cares, because He knows, He cares, and He won't let it stay this way. God knows your greatest desires. He knows your greatest needs. And when God gave us Jesus, He says, I'm going to be a help. And I'm going to be someone that you can touch too. The Bible says this. The Bible says in Philip 2:6-8, though He was God, He did not think of equal with God. My fingers are sticking. As something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when He appears in human form. When Jesus came here, He understood what it was to be you. And God gave us Jesus so He could do something about it. We're going to go to another clip real quickly, Joe. If you'll go to the third one.
Have you ever done a backflip before?
No.
No?
Never in my life.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous, guys. Always. Backflips are scary.
Unique is the only word to describe Nick Vujicic and his head-over-heels approach to life.
Well, come through my legs.
Nick was born without arms and legs, and growing up, feared he would have to swim through life alone.
I definitely had doubts that I'd ever get married, that I'd ever meet anybody who would ever love me and spend the rest of their life with me, because I'm Prince Charming with a couple bits and pieces missing. You know, those things were important, you know, and I'd see everybody else has them, so why could I ever compete with all the other guys and ever, you know, find my princess?
Now at 29, Nick's not only found his princess, he's married her, and her name is Kanaye.
I feel like a CEO.
To me, it wasn't any different falling in love with Nick. I fell in love with him the way he is now. And so because I had dated other guys and I had gone for the physical and, you know, but I was tired of that. And the moment I met Nick, I was looking for other things. And all those things, I found them in him. So that's when I felt like, wow, you know, he's not only boyfriend material, but he's like, he could be my husband.
Well, you're not your standard issue fellow, are you?
No, not exactly. We actually have gotten a lot of interesting reactions from just people while we were dating and, you know, holding hands and walking side by side. Some even people come up and
cry.
Can
I just ask how you hold hands?
Yeah, right here. We're holding hands right here, and she'd have a hand around me or jump on the back of my wheelchair.
But what sort of reactions would you get?
Well, people would come up and cry and say, now I believe in true love again.
There you go. When I first met Nick in 2008, he was very much a single man with his signature generosity of spirit and good humour.
No arms, no legs.
No worries, mate.
Then 2 years ago, he and Kanaye crossed paths, and it was, without a hint of exaggeration, love at first sight.
The moment I saw him and I saw his eyes and his smile and just, you know, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, he's so handsome. Like, to me, he's definitely Prince Charming, you know. He might not be perfect in the exterior, but he's a perfect match for me.
It was electric. I mean, when she stood by me, it just felt right.
Is it fair to say that it is the world's most unlikely love story?
You can say that.
What do you think, Nick?
There's a lot of love stories out there, but
yeah.
It's a special one. Very special.
I'm so glad you're doing it.
No, come on. I love you.
I love you.
The fact is, just about everything Nick does is special. From falling out of the sky to learning how to surf. He refuses to let his rare condition called phocomelia confine him to a wheelchair. Nick has had to develop a sink or swim approach to life.
When I breathe in, watch this, I'm not paddling. I go up and out, all by breath. Right? And I just float.
That is amazing. Just breathe.
Just by laughing.
Breathing again.
I'll hold it. And then out.
Fantastic. So,
there
you go. And because I don't have arms and legs to supply oxygen to, I can actually hold my breath longer than the average. 2 minutes, 13 seconds.
It's easy to see why his positive outlook has won Nick a growing legion of admirers. Enthralled by the story of a young boy from Melbourne who did all in his power to turn disadvantage into advantage. Today he's wheeling himself onto the hallowed ground at Dodgers Stadium in Los Angeles.
Nick, 40,000 plus people, you get stage fright.
No, not these days. Humpto gets ready these days.
Over 4.5 million have now heard his story.
It doesn't mean I'm not going to cry. It doesn't mean I'll understand everything, but I know he's with me.
A tale of faith, hope, and now, love.
There's always been a huge chemistry between the two of us. And sometimes at the beginning, people will say, hey, don't kiss too much. It was shocking to me because it was something that I never felt before.
Ever the romantic, Nick proposed on a yacht in Santa Barbara last year. One potential problem how to put the ring on her finger. It was solved by Nick's ingenuity. He used his mouth.
I'm going, baby, can I kiss your hand? And I'm going, mwah, 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 but her left hand.
Right.
And I put the ring down her finger all the way. And she's like thinking I'm getting kinky or something. She's like, what are you doing?
She's biting my finger.
I'm biting your finger.
And I was like, why is he doing, you know, why is he biting my finger?
So I put it all the way down and I pull back and she sees there's a ring on it. And she just, her face, her big eyes, tears immediately. And I said, baby, I love you. Would you marry me and spend the rest of your life with me? And she just cried.
What about a physical relationship? Was that difficult for you? Is it difficult for you?
You mean intimacy?
Yeah.
No. No. We're very affectionate people.
Like, you know, sometimes I can't hold his hand all the time, so then I hug him or, you know, so. But, he's got everything he needs, you know, I mean.
Beautifully answered.
That's
perfect. They got married in February this year. Then settled into their house, an hour north of Los Angeles, California. From here, Nick has his office, where he writes his books and prepares motivational speeches. But as independent as Nick is, he still needs care.
These are my cooking glasses.
Much of it provided by outside help, but a fair bit by Kanaya, who at the age of 24 has now assumed the role of wife and carer.
He was a part of the deal. I mean, she saw how it came in the package. So she knew how I would function with caregivers, and we knew that would change somewhat, quite a lot, as to how much, but she was ready for that challenge, and I was amazed at her love, and yeah.
If you ever have a cross word, then things might change. And then you've got to switch from wife to, hey, I need you to shave me, or I need you to feed me. How does that work?
Well, you know what? I don't know, because we've only been married for maybe 7 months. And we haven't had an argument yet.
So it's like,
yeah, it will come. It's like we're still in our honeymoon, you know. But honestly, no, that hasn't happened yet. So when it happens, I'll let you know.
You can have your dinner later.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Oh, jeez. How heavy are you?
4 years ago, Nick was characteristically candid about his desire to find true love and maybe become a parent.
I love you, Peter.
Kids one day?
Absolutely. Yeah, medically, I can have kids. Well, I'm not going to be pregnant, but yeah. But, yeah, I see kids definitely in my life. Yeah, I can't wait to be a father.
Well, it was just the two of us on the beach that day. Now, 4 years on, there's a third. And, would you believe it, soon to be a fourth.
Clearly, you're a happier man.
Very, very happy, and actually we're sharing something else, a great joy that we're very much looking forward to. We're pregnant.
Fantastic.
So, your son Kiyoshi is on the way.
Tell us about your little boy you're having.
Well, let me tell you, it was a big surprise for us. We always said, oh, you know, we're gonna wait 2 years before we have kids, and you know, it happened. And this is our baby. It was 15 weeks, right? Now it's 17 weeks, but it was 15 weeks when we were there, and we could see everything. His both of his hands, both of his feet, his brain.
So there's his little hands. But was there a worry or a concern from the doctors, and a genuine concern from yourselves, that perhaps your little one could be born without limbs?
Well, medically speaking, there's a even smaller chance. The chance that happened, that this happened to me, it'll be even smaller, because it's not genetic or anything like that. Did it cross our minds? Absolutely. Was I relieved when I saw the 10 fingers and 10 toes? Absolutely. It was just a joy, you know.
Love you.
Love you.
If there is anyone in this world who deserves to find happiness, it's Nick Vujicic. He's overcome huge challenges in his life, and no doubt there are more to come. But for Nick and Kanaya, life right now is pretty good.
4 years ago, we sat on this beach here in Malibu and we talked about your dreams and hopes for the future. And it seems they've come true.
Here we are. It's amazing. Why not? Our dreams do come true. And she's the greatest dream that's ever come true for me. Yeah.
You know, we were building this building. I don't know if everyone was here, if you remember, but we were over in the auditorium. And man, the workload of this place was so heavy. And the money was so gone. And, you know, we made a bold decision as a church that we had this empty building, which was a miracle in itself. But we made a decision. We had $8,000 in the bank account. And we made a decision. Let's buy the carpet first. And if you're a builder and you know how to build, you buy the carpet last because we get it. So, man, I was so discouraged, knew what our bank accounts were, knew what this building was going to cost us, knew where the church was. And we bought the carpet first. So I loaded it on an airplane and flew to Dallas. When I got to Dallas, went to get on my next plane, and the man sitting beside me was Nick. And the girl sitting beside him was his wife. And I was in awe the entire flight because I'd seen this guy, heard this guy, and I was trying to talk to him, but the truth is he couldn't talk to me. They made out the entire flight until we flew to Chattanooga. Like I said, we bought this carpet from a mill, and we brought it back here. And I mean, to hear his story, his greatest fear. He knew Jesus had saved him. He knew Jesus had a plan, but did Jesus really care about all of his needs and his wants and his desires? And was there any way that God could make something that seemed so impossible true? And God met and fulfilled every one of his expectations, his dreams, and his desires, even far above than he would have ever thought. Saying the gift of Jesus can complete your life in a way you could never have imagined. Third thing is this, Jesus came to give the gifts of God into our lives. And a lot of people don't understand what they are, but this was the first one. Jesus came, and the gift that he gave us first was salvation. If you're not right with God, just accepting Jesus changes everything. The next thing God gave you was the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're not going through it alone. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is with us, and he was with us always. And when he's with us, he brings power and comfort. He gives knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And he can cause circumstances to change in a minute. And he can anoint you and move on people around you. Tell you, the gift of Jesus brought us the Holy Spirit. And then the gift of Jesus brings blessings into our lives. We're going to watch one more clip, and then we're going to simply pray this morning on this Christmas morning. I'm telling you, whatever you're facing today, the gift of Jesus is the answer to whatever it is you need and desire. Go ahead, Joe, with our last clip.
How you guys doing?
Good, 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 good.
Well, guys, I was born this way, and there's no medical reason why that happened. My brother and my sister were born with arms and legs. And sometimes in life, things happen that don't make sense. My doctors never thought that I'd be able to walk. And today, I'm walking. I'm from Australia. Anybody one day want to go to Australia? It's such a cool place. And I now live in LA. I'm a Southern California boy. So I only live about 4 hours from here. And today I'm going to tell you, man, I love freaking people out. One day I'm in a car. I'm in the front seat. I'm not driving, of course. Can you imagine if I'm driving a car? They reckon they can put a joystick, that thing that controls my wheelchair, we can put that in a car. Like, how fully sick is that? Like, imagine if I get pulled over by the cops. Can I have your driver's license, please? Yeah, but it's over there. You're going to have to get it. Imagine if I'm in big trouble. Put your hands up! Get out of your car! See,
So I'm in the front passenger seat, we're at the traffic lights, and this car comes up next to us, and this girl's looking at me. And I'm looking at her, she's looking at me, I'm looking at her, she's looking at me, I'm looking at her. All she sees is my head, right? She has no idea that I have no arms, no legs. So I'm thinking, cool. I'm going to freak you out. So I get the seatbelt in my mouth and I loosen it like this so then I can freely move. And she's looking at me like, why are you eating your seatbelt? So I pull it. The belt is loose. I can move. Now she's looking at me full 100% attention and focus. Now just imagine all you see is my head. All right? You might want to put up your hand up to your face to cut off the rest of my body. All right? So you can really see the effect. So just, that's it. Exactly. Here we go. Ready? I just did this. And her face, man, she was like, she nearly ran the red light, man. It was so good. My parents always said, Nick, you don't know what you can achieve until you try it. And the doctors looked at me and said, he's not going to walk. He's not going to go to school. He's not going to do anything in his life. And then my parents, they just loved me like crazy and said, you got to try. Try this, try that, try this, try that. And I'm thinking sometimes like, Mom and Dad, you're crazy, man. I have no arms, no legs. How would I ever be able to do this or do that? But they encouraged me and they loved me. And as human beings, we're waiting for stuff like that. We all want love. Everybody say, love. Very good. We all want love. And, you know, I went to school and I wanted to be cool. You know, you go to school and you want to be accepted, you know. And so you see these guys and you're like, oh, man, you know, everyone swears like every third sentence. F this and F that and F and this and F, F. Like what? Like they think they're cool, you know? And so I'm thinking, man, maybe I need to be like them to be cool. And then you compare each other with how we look and I wish I was smarter. I wish I was taller. I wish I was shorter. I wish I was more popular. I wish I did this. I wish I didn't have that. I wish my life was different. That was me when I was about 8 years old. I looked at myself and I looked at everybody else and everyone else had more than me. And I'm asking, why? Why me? Have you ever asked the why me questions, but get nowhere? If I had no answers from the doctors, and if I had no answers from my parents, I still have a choice every day in my life to keep going or give up. You see this book up here? This is my favorite book in the whole wide world. This is my favorite book, the Bible. And here I am.
Did it freeze you, or is that the end? Okay. Favorite book is his Bible because of this. When he looks in it, there's over 7,000 promises that says God wants to give you this. You know, a lot of you guys are facing a lot of things this Christmas. And putting them, or trying to make them seem small, would be wrong of me, would be wrong of anyone else. They're actually big, and that's why they feel that way. But when you put them up to Jesus, they are very small. The Bible says that God loved you so much, He gave Jesus. And the Bible says this, Jesus came so far to give you what you need. What is it you need this morning? Joe's about to start a song. It's going to be a video this morning. Christmas is about God's gift to the world. The greatest gift He ever gave was Jesus. And Jesus came so far to give you what it was you needed. This morning, why don't we just take an opportunity and allow God to give it to us? Say, well, Cricket, you don't understand. Mine is finances, or mine is healing, or mine is... Tell you, I don't understand how, but I do understand this, that God is bigger. God is able, God is willing, and He will give you what you asked for.